I don't know how I got in there, but the Penguins were more than accommodating.
It's the Boyle and Rojas podcast, episode 34. Nick Boyle, what did we just see?
What haven't we seen? It's been a while. It's been since June 4th that we've done a podcast, and it's actually the end of June. But we've got our money. We have got our money's worth for MoviePass this time. I've seen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 movies. We just saw Baby Driver, but we got to talk about Baby Driver, Rough Night, The Mummy, Transformers, Alien Covenant, and Wonder Woman, as well as some other little special features in this episode.
I'd say the movies that are a little bit older, we're probably talking about not as much since, I guess, it's been so long,
man.
It's been a while.
I think we can sum them up real quick, too. They won't take long.
Wonder Woman, really, really good. 8 out of 10.
I mean, stellar movie, spectacular. Honestly, the best DC movie since The Dark Knight Rises, in my opinion. I was going to say perspective. And throwing it to Austin.
Yeah, Captain America was a 10. Wonder Woman was more of like a 7.7, if I had to say. That's a wage gap joke.
Wow.
Wow. He did it.
There we go.
He was waiting. He was literally anxiously shaking, waiting.
You probably woke up this morning thinking about that one. All right, well.
I got to give it a rating.
That was good. Oh, yeah. Boyle's got to give it a rating.
I think I rated it an 8 out of 10 or a 9 out of 10 on my IMDb. I will double check, but I'm going to go with an 8.
All right. And then we saw Alien Covenant together. We had never seen any of the other Alien movies, so we're jumping into this one hot. I give it. You did?
Oh, I did give it a 9. I take that back. I gave it a 9.
I think I gave Alien Covenant a 7 out of 10. Look, I haven't seen the other ones. I don't know how, you know, everyone says the original is a classic. I enjoyed this one. I had no idea what was going on, and it was still good, so 7 out of 10.
But let's just quickly touch upon that, is that we didn't have any idea going into that. We were like, oh, what should we watch? Let's just go see a movie. So we just went into that movie, and we're, like, honestly very surprised. And it was very action-packed, and we were both honestly blown away by it.
I wouldn't say I was blown away.
What? At the time, you were like, wow, that was good.
No, I gave it a 7 out of 10. I was like, that was good. Not like, whoa. I was like, huh.
I think at the time, I remember. I gave it 8 out of 10.
I remember being like, oh, man, good. This is like 2 Michael Fassbenders. Like,
it's one of those movies to see for the first time is like, wow, but I'm never going to watch it again.
Yeah, you said that immediately after. Yeah. That's why, like,
I guess I understand what you mean by your rating then. Because yeah. 7 out of 10 is like, eh, it was good, but you're never going to watch it a second time.
More good than bad.
Like,
I understand. Like, boy, at the end, I think what my reaction was, and maybe what you were thinking, I was like, oh, that was much better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'm going to keep my 8 out of 10 because it's still, that was my true, honest desires of rating when I first did it.
Now that we've had some time since we've seen that movie, like,
It's funny, like, we've talked about this, when you take time away from the movie, sometimes you got to let it process, and that one I would probably drop down to a 7 or a 6.5, because it was very entertaining, very good, but in the long scheme, it's like, I won't watch it again. And I feel like that's something we have to keep in mind for movies going forward, too.
It's like, when we go to our rating.
Yeah. What is your rating based upon?
Yeah. I try to, like, immediately distance myself from the movie at the end of it, thinking, okay, like, in the grand scheme of things, like, how am I going to be feeling about this movie a year from now, five years from now?
We'll talk about with Baby Driver later because yeah. I feel like you had a good perspective on that.
Yeah.
But
you've seen more since, because I was away for 2 weeks.
Yes.
So what have you seen in the time since?
I saw Transformers since you've been gone. Since you've been gone, I cannot breathe for the first time.
We're going to have to pay Kelly Clarkson if you sing 2 more seconds of the song.
That's only 1 second. All right. I saw Transformers. It was terrible.
Wow. You wanted me to see it, too.
I know, so we could talk about how bad it was. I'll tell you why. Jason loved it, just so you know, one of our friends that we know. He is super into the Transformers since he was a kid and knows all the comics and stuff, and he said it was fantastic. They really laid out all the new characters that they need to. The storyline was well in showing where it's going to go. Personally, as somebody who doesn't know it and just really knows it more by the movies and stuff, and like I liked it as a kid, but I didn't follow it, but it was way too much. Like, it was too much and the plot wasn't explained enough, so you're
too much action where you're just like, what the heck's going on here?
Yeah, like it was just boom boom boom, and all of a sudden there were parts I was sitting, I was like, what the heck just happened? Like, I don't even understand who that is or what happened or how that connects. And then the script got real corny at some points when, like, Mark Wahlberg turned to the other woman, I don't even know, and was like, oh, you, like, want to go out on a date after this if you're free on Friday? Like, one of those, like, you know what I mean?
It's a post-apocalyptic world and there's no such thing as, like, days anymore.
I literally tossed my hands up like Peter Griffin in Family Guy. I was like, done. Like, just, I was so annoyed. So, yeah, I actually, no lie, one of the worst ratings I've ever given a movie, I think. I gave that one a 4 out of 10, wow. Colonels.
I think the last time you gave, like, a 4 out of 10 or maybe, like, a 3 out of 10 was Blair Witch that you saw last year.
Boy, in comparison, Blair Witch still stunk. The second one, the second Blair Witch. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, this was down there. Man, this was a struggle. Like, I feel like I need to watch that at least 2 more times to understand what happened. And I tried to explain that, is that they tried to, because you know that they, I don't know if you read this, but they're going to be doing more Transformer movies. A bunch of
them.
Why? Yeah, they actually have this whole plan for other movies. And do you even realize that this is the 5th movie? Yeah. Like, it's crazy. You're like, they still have plans for, no lie, I think I read 3 to 5 more. They could do. Because they introduce all these new characters. People like for instance, you're like, oh, what? But people who love the action in the movies and love the storylines are like, yes, but you know what? Send it to a Netflix movie immediately or something
It's a global thing. I mean, it probably makes a bunch of money overseas.
It makes thousands of millions of dollars across international
borders. Thousands of millions of dollars, folks. That's right.
That's a quote-unquote Nick Boyle. Don't copyright.
Going back to the dumb quotes, that's something Maddie and I, whenever we go see movies, we have Maddie and I have that immediate reaction when there's a really corny line. We look at each other like, oh, this movie's going down. It's like, it's basically like that's the verbal version of the iceberg hitting the Titanic. Like, things are going well before this line, and it is sinking.
And for that reason, I'm out.
Exactly. I think that happened in Mummy. I don't know.
Well, that's the next movie, The Mummy.
So we can all talk. Maddie and I and you can talk about The Mummy. Yeah. Us, unfortunately, couldn't go. Sorry. We'll talk about it briefly.
No, well, I wasn't really invited, so.
You're at work, kind of. Anyway.
Oh, no.
So, all right. Here's the thing about The Mummy. So, as Boyle would probably want to talk about, I'll talk about it now because, you know, he's on his phone and I'll cover for him here. So, so Marvel, Disney has Marvel, and that has the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Warner Brothers has DC Comics, that universe there, Justice League, all that stuff. So Universal wants in on this whole cross movie franchise universe. So they come up with the Dark Universe, which is movies based on properties that they've owned for now, God, 80, almost 90 years. The Universal Pictures from back in the 30s and 40s. The black and white movies of, you know, Dracula, Frankenstein, The Mummy,
Dr. Jekyll, Mr.
Hyde, Creature from the Black Lagoon, which they showed. That was pretty cool. Now, they introduce it. They had a big article. They announced that this is our plans. This is what we're doing, which is, you know, becoming a new thing. Like, hey, we're going to announce ahead of time. We got this big plan with all these movies. Stick with us. Now, I say that because you kind of have to know that going into this movie, or else halfway through when Dr. Heckle, picks up Tom Cruise and it's that big room with all that kind of stuff, they don't exactly say what they're there for.
Can I disagree with you?
Okay.
Because I would disagree in the fact that I didn't know that going into this. I read up on it afterwards. So all of a sudden when I was
Why'd you read it? Did you read because you were like, wait, what's this?
No, because what happened was immediately when the Universal thing comes up and it does its like big Universal across the globe and then it turns to Dark and it says Dark Universe, I knew at that moment, and maybe that's just for the movie critique in me, but I knew right away that's going to mean something. That they're going to be doing something with this. And then as the movie went along, when they introduced Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, I was like, oh, okay, they're going to start doing monster movies. And then I read up on it afterwards, and it was true. So to me, I actually learned about it as it went on. And so from that perspective, I found it cooler. I thought it was awesome to see, all right, I'm watching The Mummy, but this is actually the first movie and now a whole franchise of movies that's going to come out. Oh, my God, there's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Oh, they're introducing, here's a character. That could be a character. And you start thinking about it as the movie's developing throughout, and then it ends pretty well open. Like that, you know, who knows what his purpose is going to be.
I'll agree with the ending. So the ending is cool. I just wish they did a better job making us care about this organization that goes after the bad guys. It's just like, it's just a bunch of faceless.
It was trying to introduce a lot of things in one movie without telling anyone beforehand.
While also doing The Mummy at the same time. Exactly. Which is why, for me,
good, because otherwise
it was kind of a mess for me a little bit.
Otherwise, The Mummy would have flopped. if they told people ahead of time that the Dark Universe was going to be a thing and they're going to start with the Mummy.
Iron Man. Iron Man.
I guess.
You gotta give me a reason to care.
Yeah, but I think I don't know.
And
I
slowly
think,
develop. They tried to.
I like the surprise.
They tried to jump ahead and be like, "This is our universe. Welcome to our universe."
See, I found it cool to sit there and be like, "Oh my God, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is gonna be in charge of it all," and like my brain was running, and I was like, "This is cool. Like he's gonna be the head guy," and I thought it was more cool to watch development than no development. But for like Marvel characters and stuff, like. Those are all comic books that were completely written in this fashion, in this manner, and that's you're just watching movies that were already created. They're, you have writers currently taking something like all these other, like you said, movies from the 30s and the 40s, and they're connecting them in today's present time, whereas Marvel and DC, they've already created it. They're just remaking it. This is something they're now taking old stories and now merging them into one big franchise. Now that's cool, and that's talent.
But Iron Man was better. I just like the Marvel movies. They just I hate that this is a podcast where we like always kiss up to Marvel, but they just do things better.
I know, so I think you have to give this a chance. This could actually, I'll be honest, if they do it right,
the next one's gonna be Bride of Frankenstein.
This could be what it is.
I swear to God, yeah.
Oh, that. Yeah. See, it's all gonna depend on the order of these movies coming out. What movies they do? I'm surprised that's the next one they go to.
So before either of us talk about it anymore, I want to have my sister on the show, Maddie.
That's the other part about it, real quick, is that it's all gonna be surprises. You're not gonna know what's gonna come next and how they're all gonna connect and why they're gonna connect, which could lead you to suspicion.
I hope they're good, but I'll talk about it a little bit more. But Maddie, so what did you think about The Mummy? We haven't really got into our thoughts about it.
I thought The Mummy was slow in parts, but I mean, you fell asleep. But
for 15 minutes, yeah.
For like the climax, which was probably the fastest part, but
Donald Trump power nap.
To be honest,
better than me. Okay.
Only during climax.
ISIS. They're a bunch of losers. That's the only way.
Yeah. So what he said. I know. Yeah, it was all right though. It wasn't bad.
Keep going. You have some thoughts. So what do you
think
about
thoughts?
The mix of
them trying to do humor and action? How do you feel like they did?
Oh, you know what? Actually, I told Mom about it because she was trying to decide if she wanted to go with Dad.
I was talking to her on the phone about it yesterday.
And I said that, you know, it was kind of funny how they had like the...
Jake Johnson.
Jake Johnson, he was a good good comedic relief. I wish he was in it a little bit more. I like how there's like parts where it doesn't feel like all these people are like used to like monsters and stuff, you know, like it feels like more real, like how somebody would react if like just all of a sudden a zombie or whatever, or mummy. Like, you know, Tom Cruise like stomps on a mummy's head and he's all like, for a second he's like, ugh, and like, I don't know, I thought those like little parts were funny. So yeah, I think they did
like
a good job.
The guy, I always mess up his name, but the guy who plays Nick from
Jake
New
Johnson
Girl, Jake Johnson. I it's so bad I can't, but it's funny, which was funny for me because he's calling like Tony Cruise, Tom Cruise's name in this.
You're right.
It's been a long day. Tom Cruise's name is Nick, so to watch Jake Johnson called Nick. I bet that must have thrown him off. I mean,
I didn't like that for the first 5 minutes. I was like,
yeah, not poor choice, poor choice. But yes, I thought that he was very funny and did a good job. And I love their relationship. It's the perfect like
guy duo,
but like guy making jokes out of the other guy just being an absolute jerk the whole time and just always choosing the wrong choice. And just like, you shot me four times.
Maddie and I, yeah, we thought, so the first 10 minutes are it's kind of dull. Yes, that's my thing. They didn't do that, like, this movie didn't know if it wanted to be a comedy action or just action with, like, dusting a comet or, like.
They tried to spin anything to make this movie good. I'll just put it to you that way, that's for sure.
They were throwing, like, a bunch of stuff in there. I will say, and I'll admit to this, and Maddie and I think and I agree about this, like, the first half of the movie is pretty good. Jake Johnson and, you know, some of the twists and some of that stuff are pretty good. Not, like, great or anything like that. Jake Johnson's character is very much like the guy in American Werewolf in London who's dead, the friend of the dead friend of the guy who's the werewolf.
Spoil it, he dies.
That's, like, in the beginning of the movie.
First, like,
first scene. The mummy. Jake yeah, Johnson, yeah, dies in the first. Yeah.
Oh, well, thanks, guys. Yeah.
It's really not that big of a deal. Anyway, so overall, here's the thing. But then the second half, it just, once the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, once that Hyde fight is just like, I was like, at that point, I lost interest.
You know what? Never before seen this move that Mr. Hyde does, where he like lifts the rib cage. Oh, man, that was pretty good. We both kind of were like, ooh, when we saw it, which is good.
I'll agree.
That was very like, you're like, oh, ouch.
So
But then how does he walk away from that? Let's talk about that. Like, he's nothing. Tom Cruise just then is like, oh, ow.
Like, what are the rules with Tom Cruise?
Ooh, my poor ribs.
Like, is he now immortal? Does that, like.
Yeah. Now he is.
Like, right?
Well,
no,
then.
At that point in the movie, is he
immortal? Oh, no, he was immortal. Yeah, you're right, because the minute he died, he became immortal.
So it's like,
that's why he
I'm a little confused.
Right,
yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, I think we just figured that out as we talked about it.
So
that's not a spoiler alert, people. No. Like, it happens in the first few. In the,
yeah, you see it in the trailer,
you see it in the trailer. He comes back to life, and we're basically.
He's in a body bag in the trailer.
Yeah, so.
Movie spoiling plot points left and right. Trailers are. So. Told me your kernel rating on the Fisher scale, which was 8 out of 10. I gave it a 5 out of 10, but I understand where you're coming from when you give it an 8 out of 10. I was just bored.
I think I gave it such a high rating too because one, it said its name. Two, the biggest thing for me is just look at it, how it as a movie set up the rest, and it's kind of like
I love the setups. You're a big setup
guy. I love
the
setups. So that was big for me. I really was. So I think that's why I gave it a bigger rating. The movie itself, I would probably sit there and say it's probably worth a 6. Itself is probably about right, 6 or 7. But I just really, I thoroughly enjoyed that one.
There we go. There's your thoroughly for the day. So final thing on The Mummy, I'll just say the last scene, you're kind of like, you know what? All right. Like, Let's give this Dark Universe a shot. Let's give it a shot. We'll see.
You.
But Bride of Frankenstein being the next movie, it's just like, man.
Poor choice.
And Cookie, my dad, I was calling him on the phone. What?
How'd you know that that's going to be the next movie?
I was in the Hollywood Reporter article about the Dark Universe. They could change it. I mean, it's still early on in the thing, but they said Dark Universe, it's going to be Bride of Frankenstein. Cookie said that that was his least favorite one of the Universal horror movies from back in the day. He said Bride of Frankenstein was his least favorite one. So I'm like, well, that's a good sign.
Yeah,
he's like one of the biggest fans of like those kind of horror movies. Yeah, and they're, so, all right, let's move on.
Maddie,
what do you give it on the Fisher scale? How many kernels?
The Mummy.
It's out of 10.
Yeah.
I'd give it like 5, I'd say. Like, wow. You know,
dang.
I don't know. Like, I'm not going to watch that again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No need to. Cool way of putting it.
So let's, what?
I have one more. Before Baby.
Yeah, before Baby Driver, Boyle, take the floor. You saw a little bit different kind of movie than The Mummy.
Yeah, I went and saw Rough Night, which was a rough showing. Did he? He did. So, let me put it to you this way. I can't even believe they tried to compare this to Bridesmaids because Bridesmaids is fantastic. And I remember when I first saw the trailer for this, they were like, oh, just as good since Bridesmaids or something like that. And I was like, bogus, like no way. Sure enough, not even close. I mean, it had its funny parts, but the best parts were the guys. So while the bachelorettes are going through all
that's
their stuff,
Boyle.
I know.
It's 2017.
While the women are going to do all their bachelorette things, and there's some funny scenes there and some funny lines, but. Every time it goes back to the gentlemen who are at the bachelor party, it's in case I gotta look it up because I want to make sure that I get the actors the right way. But one of my favorites is in it, who is Eric Andre is one of the guys. Bo Burnham,
gotta like Maddie Bird up.
Paul Downs, Ryan Coop. No, he's not. Who's the other guy that I want to point out? Oh, Hasan Minhaj from The Daily Show and his new Homecoming King special, which I watched and you should watch. It's hilarious on Netflix. But the guys were all like super like,
ranch me, bro.
Buzz me, Milano. But they were all like sipping wine and being like super elegant and like super low key. And it just reminded me of something stupid that would be at like my bachelor party where it's like super low key, but then my wife's is like crazy and people are dying and all this stuff. And it was like, it was funny. And if you watch it, if you watch it, it'll just be funny because I think that you'll understand it more and be like, oh my gosh, that's funny. They're just. They're talking about like they're tasting a wine, like, ooh, the caramel hints, and they're like, ooh, yes, and they're all sitting in these elegant chairs. But then he like thinks that she's cheating on him and has like a freak attack, and he's like, oh, I knew I shouldn't have gotten a 10 out of a 10. I'm barely a 4 or something like that. And it was funny. Like that stuff is funny, and the women, it was just very.
Was it over the top?
Yeah. Mm. Yep. And it was just like really, really. You know, a couple, the other only shout out I wanted to give out to it in it was Ty Burrell. Oh my gosh, he's hilarious. And his relationship with Demi Moore in it is pretty risque. They had a little scene in there, let me tell you. But I gave it a 5 out of 10. Don't waste your time.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So now we move to the final movie of the night, and we're going to have someone who hasn't talked much tonight talk about Baby Driver. Austin Rojas, take it away.
All right, so I'm going to come out the gate strong with a rating, actually, on a new scale. It's called the sweat drop scale. This was probably about 8.5 sweat drops. Came out of the movie theater soaked. And didn't move an inch. Movie theater was cool as could be. It was just that good of a movie.
Oh my God.
I mean, you felt everything that he must have been going through. I did. I mean, it was exhilarating from start to finish, especially towards the end, and it did it in a very subtle way where you kind of did most of the work. Apparently, I did at least enough to sweat. But, you know, I just felt everything I feel like you were supposed to feel from that movie, and it got me.
Also had a busted lip great. And a bruised eye when I look over and I'm like, dude, this movie's crazy.
I got deaf legitimately.
Dude, I'll be honest, I've seen you through a few movies now, and this is one of the first. I'm surprised you even gave it an 8, but like, this is one of the first movies I saw you sit there and actively be involved, though. Like, you would, like, someone would have him be like, oh! Like, you could tell he was pumped up. Like, I was dying. I would, like, oh, I'd hear you giggle about something or something. I was like, oh, Austin's loving this right now. And you usually don't get a reaction like that out of Austin. So yeah.
Austin definitely has, I guess, like Marcus and I is kind of like Gene, where it's kind of like, all right, movie, like you got to wow us here.
Yeah, and he's like king of predicting the end of movies, all the twists. He's so always
Austin,
doing
Austin
that.
Will, like, first scene be like,
yeah, like,
he's gonna die.
Bruce Willis is a ghost the whole time. Just walk, I'm going to get popcorn.
Goes back. I bet I didn't miss anything. Yeah. Watch, here's the scene.
So, Maddie, what did you think about the movie?
In like the beginning, I turned to Austin and I was like, this is gonna annoy me, because like Ansel Elgort, his character and the way he was like always dancing
baby.
And everything.
His name's Baby.
Yeah, Baby. Actually, Oh shit.
I'll bleep it out. I'm gonna bleep it out.
Bleep that out.
Wait. Is it actually like a spoiler?
Yeah, completely.
Nobody knows.
But it's like no significance
it's like,
to the
like
story
you
though.
Told everybody's names in Reservoir Dogs.
I've never seen that.
So right now the couple next to us wants to get in the car, but they don't want to walk by Austin's door to get in.
I haven't stopped blinking at them.
So, Maddie, that him dancing around bothered you?
Yeah. I was like, this is going to be rough, you know. But you get used to it. And he doesn't really do that throughout the whole movie. Like,
it's just to establish his kind
of character. Yeah, just to, yeah. He's, you know, he's really into music. And
you're talking about when he's walking around the street and doing
yeah, like the beginning, you're like, oh, it's going to be one of these. No, but it was
if that started playing, boy, it would have been like, I think about that day.
We were 17.
Alright, Maddie. So, what'd you think going forward?
You know, it was good. Yeah. I don't know. I don't
How many on
think
the
about my
scale?
The switch. You know, I don't sweat like Austin. You know, he's got our father's gene where he can sweat sitting in a very cold room. But But yeah, no, it was good, and I felt I'm always surprised by movies. Like,
yeah. Movies really make you mad.
Movies help. Love me because I'm always like, what? I didn't see that coming at all. So
like, we got it. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm the ideal viewer of any movie. Yeah. So yeah, it was good. I liked it.
What do you give it out of 10?
I give it like an 8. 8 out of 10. Yeah, it was good. It surprised me. I didn't think I was gonna like it, and I did.
Now, better or worse than I'm trying to think of a movie Maddie watched a lot growing up on DVD. Better or worse than Baby Mama?
Ooh, Baby Mama's better. I have so many like lines from that, and it's a comedy versus like an action kind of.
The better thing would be The Transporter. And then now you're getting a little bit of a tough comparison. That's a driving thing, but it's like this is, it's about driving, but it's not Transport. It's not even close to that kind of a movie.
That's true.
You know.
That is true.
They have the same exact job. You know, think about it. You make any two movies about somebody with the same job, you're gonna be like, that's a pretty similar movie. That's not the case. You know?
Yeah,
completely
no.
different thing.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, you're right. I was thinking Transporter Austin within like the first 20 minutes, but I was like, you know, it takes a lot of bit different turns than The Transporter, for sure.
Namely, less handcuffed Asians.
Okay.
I only hit a couple.
All right, moving on.
All
right. All right, so Boyle and I here. Baby Driver. So first time I saw this trailer, I was like, this movie looks very cliche. It looks very bad. I'm not interested. Second time I saw the trailer, and I saw that Edgar Wright directed it. I was like, okay, you know what? This movie could be good. And I was wrong. This movie was great.
You still haven't seen At World's End, have you?
No, I haven't. Oh, my God. Trace Glazen.
You gotta watch that movie.
Maybe watch it tonight. Anyway, Baby Driver, though. Great movie. Now, Edgar Wright did such a good job picking the songs in this movie. And the way the music ties into who his character is just one of the best uses of music that we've seen in a movie in quite some time. I mean, they picked great songs. Baby as a character is fantastic. You know, you find out more and more about him as the movie goes along and what he stands for. Casting is fantastic. John Hamm, Jamie Foxx, Kevin Spacey. Oh, Kevin Spacey as Kevin Spacey is always good. You're never going to get, like, it could be a terrible movie, but if you're getting Kevin Spacey being Kevin Spacey, it's good.
I mean, he reprised his role from 21, so that was great. I love that him in that movie.
Yeah.
So.
21 is an amazing movie. I'm glad you brought that movie.
Awesome. Like our first Blu-ray on our Blu-ray. Yeah, it's better than our first DVD, which is Quest for Camelot.
So. Never forget that one.
Big difference there.
Big huge mistake.
Huge.
So the plot, the action, you are on edge for the entire last two-thirds of this movie, really. At least the second half of the movie, you are just on edge. You actually care about what's going to happen to these characters, namely Baby, because of the way that they start up the, you know, his romance, which I thought was believable and just, it was, I hate to use like a movie word here, but it was intoxicating, like that kind of romance that they had. You're just like, man, this is like, I can really feel it. And you care about what's happening. And then there's like, you know, a little bit of a twist halfway through that you're not expecting. And it just goes from there. And just like Maddie said, like, you know, at every turn, I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So for me, this is the first time in podcast history, in the Boyle and Ross podcast, in 34 episodes, I'm giving a perfect 10 out of 10 kernels on the Fisher scale. 10 out of 10. Best movie I've seen this summer. Better than Captain Underpants, believe it or not.
For a certain thing at the end, you're not going to deduct points for that? Well, you mentioned it to me right after it ended.
Oh, yes. All right. So, okay. I don't want to give it away, but a certain character kind of goes into... and to use a name from the movie, Mike Myers, they talk about Mike Myers from the movie Halloween. There is a character from the movie that becomes almost like a villain in a horror movie where it's like, I thought you were dead like five scenes ago and you're still, you know what I mean? Like still going on. And that is like, all right, but they mention it earlier in the movie. They set that up a little bit that character is that kind of way. So, you know, you kind of have to suspend just a little bit of disbelief and, you know, I'm with it, but. Exactly. So now we leave it up to Boyle. Boyle, what were your thoughts on Edgar Wright's Baby Driver? I like the new kid in the movie, by the way. The good actor.
I'm going to be a Rolling Stones critic for a minute and just put WOW in all caps. Wow.
Say it again backwards, Boyle.
Wow. Flip it upside down. Mom. That's part of the movie, too. Yes! That was awesome. Now, But in all seriousness, I'm going to start off actually with my rating for this one. I'm going to give it a 9.5 on IMDb. I got to do 9, but I'm sticking with the decimals. Because I wanted to give it a 10, but I did look back at what I rated a 10. I've rated Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Blew me out of the water. Everything about that movie. And The Fate of the Furious, the new one. I also, which I think you gave it a 9. I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure. But anyways, this movie... You said something after the movie that I thought was very awesome in the way of how to depict this movie, and this should tell you to go see this movie, is that it's our generation's Pulp Fiction. And if you have never seen Pulp Fiction, then you need to see Pulp Fiction. However, Pulp Fiction is a legendary movie. Oh, you gave it an 8? Wow. And I would 100% agree with you. This is a good, classic, action-packed movie. Keeps you on your edge of the seat the whole time. Literally, we sat back and forth multiple times watching the movie. What was it? The sweat factor? I don't want to mess it up.
The sweat drop scale.
The sweat drop scale. I was probably rocking about a 9.2. I had 2 droplets going down the forehead, as well as very perspirated through 2 shirts.
So on a scale of Tom's of Maine to Gillette Clinical... You're more towards the Gillette Clinical in terms of what your needs were.
That was a doctor's prescription.
You're talking about behind the counter at the pharmacy?
Oh, my God, yeah. So you got to have that weird talk with your doctor about, like, doc, it's just pouring out of me, and I don't know what to do anymore. They give you something that smells, like, weird, and that's at the end of your life.
But, you know, they do make Degree at the store that's a little bit better than going that route.
It's true. It's true.
Extra strength. So.
You should carry some in a bag for when it gets a little bit...
Sometimes you need the extra. Yeah.
Those hot days in New York City.
Of course.
Me and Shaq go through the same thing. Something we have in common.
Well, back to the movie. But the point being is that it really was great. I don't really know how much else to say. You guys depicted a lot of it. But I thought there were scenes that all of a sudden it surprised you in a sense that made you gasp like Maddie. There were scenes that made you giggle like Austin. There were scenes that make you go... questionable like Rojas, and there are scenes like me which just grooved along to every soundtrack song that played through that entire movie, and the way it all connected in the end, it was a good time.
That's a great point, Boyle. Think about all the elements of what makes good movies, and it's movies that have a lot going on in it in terms of tone that makes sense together, because sometimes movies will have like different kind of tones and it's like it doesn't add up.
And then you don't know what to say. And then at the end, you almost are like, you're very like, oh, this happened, this was good. But this time, just from hearing the four of us talk about it, we are all saying similar things, but we're also pointing out individual parts of the movie that are like, hey, this was awesome the way they did this, or this was great the way they shot that. And a lot of the credit I've been noticing this year with movies is this... the soundtrack and how much that plays in movies, and it's sound mixing and the way,
like Guardians of the Galaxy.
And the way like how somebody would be talking in the distance and it's in the back corner of the theater, or the way the music was still in because the bud was in his left ear, you could hear it on the side of the theater while you're hearing all the voices from the movie screen because that's who's talking in front of you. But also over to the right, you can hear some mumbling from Jamie Foxx muttering stuff at the same time. Like, it was awesome to hear all those things at the same time, as well as when the cops are driving around and whereas, like, they're getting chased and you hear his shifting and all that stuff. But the music and the way the music, every beat hit something that they were doing, and when it didn't hit the beat, what happened? Something was going wrong. Point of the movie.
Amazing. That is a great point. Yeah, because, you know, there were a few times you're like, oh, and like, but so many things in the background were matching the music. It was just, it was great.
And this also brings me to another movie coming out soon that I'm excited for is Atomic Blonde that's coming out with Charlize Theron. Dude, that trailer, because of the way they do the music with the trailer, and every time she hits something, the beat hits from Kanye.
And it's like gunshots.
In this movie. So that's what I'm saying. The sound mixing is becoming huge, I feel like, in movies, and the way the soundtrack is playing and the songs and how it hits on beats and the shifting or the gunshots. And I find that cool. I find the way that's smart. That's smart producing and directing.
And I think the industry knows that we're picking up on that, and they're going to send us more of it. I'm all for it, actually. Yeah, I agree with you on this one. I mean...
I thought you meant us particularly.
Oh, like no,
us.
No. We're, yeah,
hey, you know this car? They go to the movies a lot.
Yeah. Warner Brothers listens. They subscribe, I'm pretty sure.
So, I mean, I'm glad that we all really like this movie a lot. And I think this is a movie you got to see in theaters.
That was a reported thing. Like, I'm glad we all enjoyed it.
This is a movie, but am I wrong? Like, yeah. I think you would all agree this is a movie you have to see in theaters, right, Austin?
Most of my score came from just actually being invited this time. but it definitely, see, I mean, it was actually a movie where I sat there after it said, I was like, I could watch that right now again. Mm. I would go a round two on that movie.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
I think it's actually playing.
Yeah. I think there's a 10
there's
o'clock
a night show.
Yeah, I would go in. I have work in the morning, and I'm fine. I'll do it. I don't care.
It was, it really was good. But that's a good movie. That's a good movie. A movie that you can sit there and say, I'll watch that again. Now that's what should be up there in the 8, 9s, and 10s.
Yeah.
And that's really, this is one of the things I'm starting to pick up on stuff we used to rate compared to now. And I go back to some movies I've seen on IMDb that I've rated, and I've actually been changing my scores because I'm like, but it's not as good as this one I just saw, or it's not as good as this one.
Or like 3 years from later, you're like, I don't even remember anything that was in that movie.
Like Alien Covenant, I thought it was great in the meantime, but I guarantee you in 2 years I trained that down to a 5 or a 4, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like in the long scheme of things.
Whereas like Goodfellas, like a movie like that, Maddie, I mean, think about how many times are we quoting that movie? Like, yeah. And that came out like 25 years ago.
So one thing I did want to bring up that before we end the podcast,
we have movie questions.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. So real quick, I'll get into this another episode. One of the best all-time TV shows that people love is Breaking Bad, but I will go down in the book saying that Daredevil season 2 is quite possibly one of the greatest seasons of a TV show I've ever seen. And I'll go into it another time. I'll explain why. But it also has to go with the whole setup for movies and shows and all that stuff, too. But, dude, there was so much involved in the plot in multiple you would love it. You would truly love it.
It better be better than the Ben Affleck movie.
Oh, what?
Daredevil?
30 times better. Like, 100 times better. Right. You would actually... You're even going to like Elektra in this movie, in this show.
I like Jennifer Garner a lot, though.
But this
just kidding. What's in your wallet?
I don't know.
All right. You know what?
Maybe we'll get... I almost lost my wallet. There you go. Yeah. What's in my wallet?
Nothing.
Nothing, apparently.
I will watch Daredevil later this summer. I got to finish every episode of Cheers first.
There's a whole lead up to it. I'll get into it in another episode. You have to watch it in a certain... You have to watch Daredevil season 1, then you have to watch Jessica Jones, then Daredevil season 2, then Luke Cage, then Iron Fist, because next this summer is The Defenders is coming out.
Oh my God.
So you have to watch in that order.
Do I have to like wear a certain hat for each time I watch something too?
You gotta be in the right mood for each one. You don't want to eat a rare steak before you watch the Jessica Jones series.
I will say
you
do have to be in a mood. You'll get bored. Like Jessica Jones, I was bored for the first 4 episodes, and then it was super awesome the end of the season.
Wow, more woman hating from Nick Boyle.
Oh,
if you sense
no.
A show, I'm just kidding.
Oh boy.
So we have a question from B-Cat.
Yes.
B-Cat sent us a Snapchat. So how long is this episode?
I don't know. This is long.
That is the first time.
38 minutes.
We're doing good.
All right. So Boyle asked us a question, guys. He said, average number of boofs per movie. That's when you take a dump. Boofs. Honestly, though, do you go to the movie to the bathroom if it's a good movie? Or do you hold it? And if you leave during a dull part, do you really see the whole movie?
I think we talked about
his argument.
Question.
His argument. We might have.
Can't think of a time since I stopped using diapers that I've actually actively left a movie theater. One, the sheer anxiety of getting up in front of other people is crippling. It makes the legs not work. And then on top of it, I just don't want to get up. It's not worth it. I can hold it now. I'm an adult now.
Okay. Wonder Woman. Dad had, like, both of us really wanted a Coke. And we had this massive Coke. I drank literally half of it in the trailers. I had to pee. Literally opening credits, I had to pee. I did not leave that movie theater, okay? Like, I held it. It was good. It kept my attention. It kept me away from thinking about having to go pee.
How much was your toe tapping?
Bad.
Yeah. Boyle, will you go to the... Will how dull a movie is affect you going to the bathroom?
It's not about being dull. It's about your bladder. I'm going to be the one to say. I'll be honest. I've had a few movies that I can... You can do it, and I remember I've talked about this in a past episode, but, like, come on, you're an adult, you can hold it, right? But then there's sometimes when out of nowhere you're just like, oh, no, and it's at the worst time, too. It's at a time that you shouldn't, and, dude, I literally had cross legs to the point that the minute the credits came on, I ran. I think I hopped over that top where you start going down the stairs. I think I just jumped. Like, I had to pee so bad, but... Other times, I think you just, if you know it's a dull moment in the movie, you run and pee. Because girls, it's different. But guys, no lie, I have gone pee, washed my hands, dried them, and been back in the theater in under 2 minutes. It can happen.
I've seen it.
There was one time that literally, I was with Michaela. We just went and saw something, and then all of a sudden I was back. She's like, that was fast.
It was like you barely even, boil?
I know.
Quick in the bathroom.
I execute.
Yeah. Now, I've left movies. Boyle knows this because we've seen a lot of movies over the past few years. For me, it's not – I don't really leave to go to the bathroom. I leave because I'm about to fall asleep, and I go up to the concession stand to buy, you know, cashews, popcorn, soda, like something to keep me awake. It's this one. So,
I did see them.
Checkmate.
Not lying.
Dang, I love cashews.
Yeah, man. Having some good, like, cashews or almonds during a movie is a good time. But I do that to stay awake because Boyle knows this. I am very prone to falling asleep in movies these days.
Crazy. It's just, you know, maybe it's an age thing.
That.
Yeah.
I do. Crazy if I pay for something, and even when I don't, I wanted to fall asleep during Mummy, but you paid for me. Like, if you spend money on something, like,
I fell asleep.
Exactly. Like, if you spend money on something, you bet your balls I'm going to be awake. Are you kidding me?
I fell asleep during Assassin's Creed, too.
That movie that we saw, like, at the aquarium, where it was literally just fish.
It was all six of us. You stayed awake?
I didn't even know it was free. I stayed awake.
Most of our family fell asleep. Mom obviously fell asleep during that one. All right, so let's run it back. All right, it was 6 years ago, summer 2011. And I remember these things. Summer 2011, we go to the New England Aquarium, which is in Boston, and across from it is an IMAX. There's an IMAX theater there, and it's playing, and it's this movie called Sharks, so like something of the ocean.
And we're thinking, 3D, right?
We're thinking we're gonna get a Shark Wonder Ride, and it is gonna be awesome. Turns out it is straight up nonfiction, and it's like they dropped a camera in the ocean. And we're like, here's the ocean. Some sharks might,
the shark's gonna come by. You can't.
So we were walking around all day. It was hot outside.
Deal with it.
We sit down. Mom, first one to go for sure. I'm fighting for 20 minutes. I made it at least 20 minutes. And then by like the fourth or fifth scene where it's just the only sound you're hearing are bubbles, I was like, passed out. Cook, I think dad also said he fell asleep. He said it was the most expensive nap he's ever taken in his entire life.
Oh, it wasn't and free.
It was not free.
Oh, I thought it was free.
Nope, he paid money for that.
I'm glad I stayed awake.
Maddie, you stayed awake. Austin, you stay awake?
I fought as long as I could, but I mean, I went probably about 8 rounds.
Yeah.
Come round 9, KO.
So basically, you were like a Japanese guy fighting World War II in like 1960, basically.
Just about, I would say, yeah.
The war was over, man. We lost.
Lives forever, but in my heart.
I'm pretty sure Mark fell asleep for that one, too, and probably did that weird eye rub thing.
There was that moment in the theater where I look at everyone, I'm on the end, and I'm like, are you kidding me right now?
I screamed.
Like, I would have lit up.
Like, we paid money for this.
Nobody in that movie would have woken up at all.
I was done.
I got to tell you. But like, so here's a follow-up
question. Same thing happened with my entire family. I was in Maddie's role, the Beach Boys concert, late 90s, I want to say.
If you start dozing off, usually, like, either you or whoever you're with should be able to either do something to you to wake you up, or
was,
like...
Yeah, with the Mummy the other day, Maddie woke me up one of them. I looked at her like, this is happening.
You're going to have to, like, stand up and do jumping jacks middle of the movie as, like, an embarrassment. Like, oh, if I fall asleep, I'm going to have to wake up and do jumping jacks.
For me, if I know I'm falling asleep, my first thing is, like, all right, I'll check my phone and, like, that'll get me awake. Second line of defense, go get a popcorn and soda. Third, chug Maddie's soda. That was mine. And then I chugged Maddie, half of Maddie's soda, and I still fell asleep for the most action-packed part of The Mummy. I fell asleep for 15 minutes. I woke up I don't want to spoil it, but I woke up halfway through the climax with, like, there was a body on the ground and, like, a knife and the mummy. I was like,
God,
don't know what happened here.
Scene.
Yeah, dude. Didn't care. I asked Maddie after the movie. I was like, fill me in. She's like, this. I was like, oh, so the trailer, some stuff that wasn't in the trailer. All right, cool. All right, anyway.
That's all movies. Described any falling asleep at any movie. Oh yeah, there were some parts from the trailer, and then there are other parts that weren't in the trailer. Oh yeah, okay. That was the SpongeBob SquarePants movie you were talking about.
If I had to power rank best naps I've taken during a movie, the aquarium one for 100%, because that was even a nap. That was like I that was to completion.
You were surrounded by
It was a big IMAX screen.
You know what? You were listening to. You know when you actually, I don't know if you've used those apps like white noise apps, but when you can change it to like water and stuff. Yeah. I used to do this at Carpenter Street all the time, Providence. Yeah. I would literally, when we had guests over, I'd crank it in my room and just have like the ocean waves, and it'd put me right to sleep. Oh, yeah. I guarantee you that. I bet you all went in hypnosis sleep. You all heard the waves of the sharks and stuff. You didn't hear anything. Because there's no, I mean, what? Somebody's voice that talks to you like this. And it's just a monotone voice, but it's just soothing enough that it puts you right to sleep now.
Oh, no, we're all asleep. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I
had to do that
after I heard gunshots outside my apartment in Queens. What?
My white noise is outside. It's a recording of Outside Haven Bros at 1 a.m. on a Saturday. Becky, come back. Do you want the ranchero? Hold on. Becky!
That's
pass out.
Like, that's what you sound like drunk, so I'd take it easy with making fun of people.
I don't drink. All right, so this episode is over. Follow Austin Rojas on Twitter at AmRojas19. Dad tweeted at us, Austin. You still haven't seen it, I bet. Austin has to install Twitter back on his phone since he got a new phone a few months ago. Follow Maddie on what, Instagram?
Instagram.
What's your Instagram, Maddie?
Maddie, the right way to spell it. Rojas.
Wow.
There we go. Taking shots at the other Maddies.
Is the right way to spell it in the middle of that? Is it like one of those parentheses? Like
yes.
Maddie in the
yes.
parentheses?
It's the right way to spell it. All one word.
At the right way to spell it, Maddie Rojas.
You heard it first.
Boyle is at OBoyle92. Follow the podcast, the Boyle and Rojas podcast, on Twitter.
Nope, it's the BNR podcast.
The BNR podcast.
I always screwed up.
Yeah, we had to go short because of so many characters, you know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying?
Thanks, Trump.
Yeah, I'm the first one to say that.
Wow. New trend. Thanks, Obama.
I actually have not heard anyone say that yet.
I'm neither.
Yes!
Now that I think about it.
Copyright. Trademark.
Heard here first at the BNR podcast on Twitter.
At Rojo36.
That's right, at Rojo36 on Twitter. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Boyle actually pronounced it the correct way.
I say Rojo because in seventh grade.
This is a history.
Yeah. All right, and that's the show. All right, bye, everybody.
Adios.
Nope.
That's a good way to leave it, I think.
There you go. Thanks, everybody, for listening. It's one of our longer episodes, but it's good to be back.
Oh, my-